Okay, welcome everyone for the weekly discussion in Tuesdays. We are going to take about 1 hour and we have already appointed topic for the discussion, for the base. For before going to that, if anyone is having occasional thing, I will invite to give a chance at the beginning. Sukhi hontu. Sādhu sādhu anumodāmi anumoditabbaṁ khamāmi khamitabbaṁ suvapattvitta. May you all be healthy, wealthy and happy. So before going to the formal discussion, again I remind the invitation. If anyone is having contemporary, present moment topic or interview reports or any suggestion or any statement, we can take few minutes. Otherwise, we are going to take the Tuataka Sutta that we have already started and Venerable Buddharakhita will start with the point where we stopped last time. According to my reports, we met April 25th, the last, and we went to Suttanipata Gatha, stanza number 292 and 293, according to the Swingli's calculation. Na kaivikaya titte nindaya napa vedeya, not shaken by the ill fame, na undameya pasansito, you are not up when you are being praised. Desire or craving or any jealousy and hate will try to alleviate. That is the 932, but it is few numbers up and down in the English translation.
So, okay, if there's no other, nothing from reports online, the next verse is, a bhikkhu should not engage in buying and selling. He should not do anything that incurs criticism. He should not form intimacy in the village. He should not address people from a desire for gain. So here it's a kind of referring back again to the bhikkhu's vinaya. So this is the vinaya for monks. It's not the vinaya for lay people. Obviously, lay people engage in trade, in buying and selling items. And however, as mendicants, as people who are dependent on the alms offerings of the community, the rule is that we should not engage in buying and selling. So I can, there's nothing as such morally wrong with buying and selling or trading. However, it's a great distraction if you have to think about business, if you have to think about buying and trading, if you have to think about a commercial life, if you have to think about a professional life, you're always, it occupies a great level of your mind, is this, you know, the intricacies of business or trading, of buying and selling. And so it's a great relief, it's a great freedom to not be engaged, to be free from engagement in buying and selling. However, it is also a rule for us, so we should not do this. It's not just simply advice. It's not just simply some sort of teaching as such. It's a rule for us. It's a boundary. It's a creative constraint how we live life. Like these days, to be a mendicant in the world is going so against the grain of humanity. Everybody's trading, everybody is buying and selling. And to be somebody who isn't buying and selling is a kind of an astonishing thing. And people will ask me regularly, like, how do you survive? How do you do this? How do you do that? You know, how can you exist? So on the one hand, initially it's a challenge. How do you, you know, you have to be out of debt, you have to be free from debt, you have to be free from government service, you have to be free from any bondage to become a bhikkhu. And so you have to have actually wealth. Sometimes I joke with some of my students and say that they're in more debt than I am because they owe mortgages and car finance and all these other things, that they're minus, whereas at least I'm zero. You know, so sometimes they think that I have nothing. And I'll say, yes, I have zero, but you have minus. You have less than nothing, you know. You need a certain level of wealth, actually, to become a monk. You need to be able to have the support of a community that is wealthy enough to support monastics. And again, people will point the finger and say that Sri Lanka or Myanmar or somewhere like that are incredibly poor countries. But actually, they still have the wealth and the generosity to support mendicants. And it's kind of notable when you go to rich areas. Sometimes I'm in London or Australia, and they don't have the generosity to support the monks, and they view you as a criminal or as a thief or as a beggar or a vagrant if you're on alms or on pindapat. And they don't understand that we teach, our teachings are not charged for. And they think that this is a kind of a scam. And so this is coming from a great level of scarcity in mind, in thinking. And whereas in Buddhism, we have to cultivate an abundance, that there will be enough. So even though I don't have an income, or I don't have trading and buying and selling as a way of supporting my livelihood, I have to have confidence that that tomorrow there will be another meal, or tomorrow that there will be a roof over my head, or something like that. So this has to, I find in my own life, I have to think abundantly. I have to think that there will be something for today and tomorrow, and just keep putting one foot in front of the other, and to deal with my own anxiety or my own worries about is there going to be support? Is this a supportive area? Or, you know, my relationships with other people, that I will have support, especially in times of need. And this takes a kind of a certain level of confidence or inner strength. And this is something, an aspect of my mind that I have to cultivate. And whereas there's people like, I know many people personally, where it's just never enough. They have no inner strength, even though they externally have great prosperity. And they will tell me that their millions is never enough, is impossible. It's just not enough. So for me, wealth is internal. It's a very personal thing. We need enough and more than enough to meet our daily needs, to meet our food, health, medicine, shelter, clothing. But when it goes beyond that, we need to be very careful in our mind about what is enough. And that this property of the mind, of enoughness, beyond necessities, is a mental property. You know, below, less than necessary is definitely a physical property. You know, if you haven't got enough food, if you're in a very poor situation and a very poor place, then yes, it's a very physical thing. But when you're in a place of abundance, it's a very mental thing. So this... to have a skill, to have a command over this division, this line in the mind between not enough and enough and more than enough, is a great skill and a great freedom to occupy that space where one has enough. And so he does not do anything that incurs criticism. So again, we take our standards to be the norms of a society, and we therefore have to live in a good society, not in a thieves' society, where, for instance, if we live in a law-abiding way and we're criticized for being law-abiding because everybody else is a thief, well, then that's we shouldn't live in that kind of a place. But we do take the standard or the norm of society as something important to take feedback from. And there's certain criticism that's baseless, but then there's a kind of criticism that's useful to take into account. So we're not impervious. We're not righteous about our life. We take feedback. We are in a dialogue with society. So when somebody issues a complaint or a criticism, a critique, then that can be intensely useful. To get that feedback is incredibly useful, to have a good critique, a healthy critique. But where people are just criticizing, it can be unhealthy. So we do take feedback. And he should not form intimacy within the village. And so this is, again, going back to an intimacy here means that we're overly familiar with people in the village, because our life is different. So we're not involved in day-to-day gossip or day-to-day sort of interests as such, where we just the particulars are what is going on in the village, what's in a day-to-day life.
You better tell that person to turn off that fire, or else we'll be all smoked out in no time. He's not aware of what he's doing. Ask him to put it out, because he's not conscious of what he's doing.
How do you know about it? මේ ගැනේ බෑ මේ පොට්ටනේ පොට්ටනේ ගාත් ගන්නවා.
So these intimacies are not just sexual intimacies or physical intimacies. It's just a deep intimacy of just being involved with everybody and caught up in business. And then he should not address people from a desire for gain. So again, this is where, you know, monks can be manipulative or suggesting that they want stuff. Again, here comes back to this point that I was making earlier about what is enough. And people who are seeking gain, they are not enough. So they find the challenge of being a monk, of being a mendicant, too much, you know, that they want to have a padded cushion around them. They want the scaffolding of materialism or wealth to hold them up. They don't have that inner strength. They don't have that inner character that is the true strength, is the true thing to be relied upon. So they have a desire for gain. And they manipulate people, or they're suggestive, or they create obligations on people, or they'll do little things, they'll give a little gift because they want a big gift back, or something like this. So we shouldn't. It's this desire is the problem, and this imbalance in one's mind that one doesn't know what enough is. And therefore, they're seeking gain as a way of propping themselves up and developing a nest, and not really understanding what enough is, and understanding that that wealth has its place in the world, but once it has achieved its function or its role, then we have more than enough, and we can focus our minds on spiritual wealth, which is a far greater far more valuable thing than mere material wealth. Anyway, these are some ideas on this sutta verse. Maybe Mahatero can add.
Anyone who wish to contribute about this exchange theory in the life? It's called exchange theory in social science. In and out. No, he's happy. No, I just gave a name. I just gave a name for this theory. So you can start. I have done 30 hours of adult psychology.
We'd like to hear about the Buddhist psychology, not the...
So that's why I'm not talking. That's why I ask him to talk about Buddhist psychology.
People have dialed in for you, Bhante. It's not appropriate to be shy.
No, I am not shy. I am not very appropriate. Not appropriate. I will talk, but I like American. Because he is now emerging. Now he's happy to share with him because he is good in meditation, good in social activities, and being a monk and becoming a senior monk. Slowly, we must promote him. Don't get shy. Yes, welcome.
Excuse me, Mahatero. Yes, I give my own kind of experience of this. I noticed when I started meditating when I was a lay person that I had an apartment and it was full of all sorts of things. And for some reason, when I started meditating, I started getting rid of a lot of things. And before long, my apartment was almost empty, and I just loved it. It felt so spacious. It was actually there was a high ceiling, and it was an old building, and I painted the walls like blue and like light blue and some pink colors, and it's very light feeling. And there was a lot of space. There were windows, and there was a lot of light could come in. But it felt so good just to get rid of a lot of clutter and material things. And I was, I guess, up until that time, I was pretty much a consumer and, really engaged in buying. I had a decent job and bought a lot of things. But it's interesting how, at that point, I started to study some Buddhist teachings, but really, I was still working and everything, but it's just interesting to me that just meditating got me less interested in material things, and a lot of clutter went away, and a lot of things I would look around and think, what do I use that for? What's the purpose of that? And books and things. And so that was just the observation. It's just interesting how meditation can have, just meditation alone, turns your mindset around. I don't know if that's true for everybody, but it was true for me. So that's all. Thank you, Swami Nansa.
Sarai Swaminansa. Thank you, Mahasangha, for all of your comments so far. So in the previous discussion that we were having with Venerable Chandaratana, I believe this was last week, we were talking about more or less what happens when monks give up the traditional ways of monks, essentially, when they start accumulating wealth, when they start, accepting like these, we were talking about, accepting a lunch dana at people's homes, doing the Pirith chanting and the festivals and the ceremonies at the temples and stuff. Bhante Chandaratana was talking about how the founders of Galdua, this tradition, Venerable Jnanarama and Venerable Dinavamsa, they wanted to kind of go back to the traditional forest monk ways. And so they, they were, trying to avoid doing the Pirith chanting and the ceremonies and the festivals and becoming like a lot of the temple monks where they get very involved in the lives of lay people, and they're kind of consistently like serving the lay people in these ways, which is, wonderful, but, it becomes a distraction from the practice. And so Bhante Chandaratana was saying that the founders of this tradition, Galdua, Venerable Jnanarama and Venerable Dinavamsa, they wanted to kind of go back to the traditional ways of forest monks, and they wanted to avoid getting involved in these kind of like social activities with lay people, like the Pirith chanting and the festivals and all the ceremonies and stuff like that. It's important to highlight the importance of sticking to these traditions, like living at forest monasteries or living out in the forest, and devoting and avoiding these kind of these activities like the Pirith chanting and the social work and all the ceremonies all the time. And it's important to avoid accumulating possessions like wealth and nice robes and stuff like that. I mentioned to him that when I was out on my 7-day trip, this is when my parents and brother came to Sri Lanka, just recently. I was out for 7 days, and I was in Colombo, and I spent an evening at a study temple in Colombo called Vajirarama. So I just spent one evening there, and then I left the next morning. But there was a Ukrainian samanera there too, and we went for Pindapada, outside the temple in that area surrounding the temple. The next morning, we went for Pindapada, and there were people in that neighborhood. They were trying to give us money, and so we refused all of it, But this is, another thing to highlight is, when the monks, they when they start doing these things like, handling money and, accumulating these possessions and all of this nice property and, getting too involved in the, like the Pirith chanting and the ceremonies and things that are distracting from the practice, then they start to become more like lay people. So, getting intimate, it says in this verse in the sutta here, to avoid getting too intimate with the village people, when monks are getting, too, you could say, close to the laity, too close, and, not in the, you want to have a Dhamma relationship with the laity, your relationship wants to be based on Dhamma, as a monk with lay people. But when you start getting too close to the lay people, you start, going to their homes too much, maybe, for Dhana, or, you start, getting involved in their kind of, talk about, the things that are going on in the world, and you start becoming like a lay person yourself when you start, handling money, you start accumulating property and possessions and wealth and getting all these nice things, maybe at ceremonies and stuff. You start becoming more like a lay person and you start getting distracted from the practice. So I just wanted to point that out. Bhante Chandaratana was talking about that, last week with the, the founders of Galdua and their commitment to going back to the traditional ways of a forest monk. And he was talking about, this stuff like the Pirith chanting and the ceremonies and whatnot. So
the people with white clothes, they will not be happy because they are very happy. Forest monks are visiting their houses. They have pay white clothes, drum beating, trumpet and everything. So they think they are very prestigious. They are not accommodating for village monks, they are accommodating forest monks. And that is the way the sanstava is deteriorating. And we are deteriorating. Dilapsical or something like that. But we are the victims. So exchange theory says, social exchange means the sensual. We have the money, capital, labor, management. Though that is the way for the last 200 years whole civilization changed. But it is not only that, internal exchange. We see something and we give something. We hear something, we give something. So internal exchange also happening in the each and every faculty. That is called materialistic world. Not the materialism. It's a matter. Rupa loka. The first one we call karma loka. Do you understand karma loka? Sensuous pleasure. That's a prestige. That's UN, HMF, and monetary fund, and everything is money, 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 money. And they end up with the sex, sensual and sexual. And that's why we are learning. That's why we have become a lay people, and in the even the monkhood, we are trying to ride the wave. But besides that, we have internal exchange. Always we see something, and we give accordingly. We develop knowledge. We hear something, and we develop academically we are higher. The more you develop, we become more you prestigious. You are being accepted by the academic world. Not like the materialistic world. That is all the business people. This is academic world. That's internal. And then you have the subtle matter. You do with the breath or something like that, and breath become very subtle, and then you have neva sanya na sanya ayatana. You have a perception about the perception and no perception, neither perception. So it is not with sensuous pleasure, not with the social level, not with the exchange level of the seeing breath and see the left and the right, but very subtle level. So still the exchange. So Buddha says, so much so we are in samsara. But we people gathered here, not appreciating much about the sensuous pleasure. I mean, we have done some certain amount of renunciation. I don't know whether you all like greed. That's why we are here now. That is the greatest. That cut off more than 80% of the repercussion, friction. But we are not appreciating it. We think if we were at home, we would have been better. We have say, air conditioner, we have the access to the vehicle and cars and kind of thing. But when you come here, I mean, you have to appreciate it. That appreciation is called the living in the present moment. You have done a big job, but if you are not appreciating here, if you are not happy here, still you are desperate, I have left behind, so a lot of things like. But no, we try to have discussions, we try to have meditation, everything to appreciate the present moment, so that you can be with the breath. Breath is neutral object, material, or rupa loka. And then unexpectedly, the sensuous world as well as the material world, the breath becomes subtle. Then exchange theory becomes completely tupsi-turvi. You don't know, no breath is better than gross breath, or gross breath, medium breath, and subtle breath. How to work with? Because you have done with the sensuous pleasure exchange. Kaya vikkaya. Kaya means the purchasing power. Vikkaya means selling power. Kaya vikkaya. Kraya shaktiya in Pali we call. That becomes something, becomes commodity. You know the difference between the thing and the commodity? Commodity is something sellable. It is come to the supply and demand theory. If it is not a commodity, it is in the forest, wood available, it is not a commodity. There is no supply and demand. When the supply and demand happen, if you know how to do it, you are a very good entrepreneurship and you can earn money. But if you are in the meditation, if you be with the more with the breath, you are prestigious. Because it's a great job to be with the breath, be with the matter, be with the rupa, not the kama loka. But many people live in this rupa loka, they are very unhappy because climate is harsh, mosquitoes are there, people are coughing, people are smoking, and Rudhuamrus get angry. That is the world. Can't help. But whenever breath becomes subtle as far as you are aggravating, you are violating with these things. Because that's the nature, that's the evolution. Our mind reacts, not now to the sensuous pleasure, now to the material world. And when it becomes subtle, it will never become subtle unless otherwise you are at peace at the material world, Rupa Loka. When subtle happen, Niva Sanya Na Sanya Etane. You have sign or perception or no perception. Still the same. Still the exchange theory. So this scientist, I can't remember, Emil Durkheim or something like that, I have spent time. And Dr. Deegan taught us how the people are worried, carried away by this supply and demand. Kaya vikaya, selling and buying, and exchange theory. And when you come to the material world, you are exchanging religious things, spiritual things, philosophical thing, and then you become highly elated, though you are telling my meditation is no good and I can't keep the breath face to face with, but still the exchange. But the breath becomes subtle, completely different rational theory, exchange, right, kind of a value judgment. It is a very hard core of our mind. Some people say hard core of our brain. So that we have never explored into. Because we are so worried about this sensuous pleasure and sexual pleasure, we call pleasure principle. And without any shame, we expect that in our children. We expect that we to give to the parents and the teachers, and therefore we are carried away. So much so, we can't go to the material world, so much so, as far as we are, can't go to the material world, we can't go to the subtle material, Rupa and Arupa Loka. So Buddha was explaining very nicely, but our discussion and our involvement basically on the sensuous pleasure. So we must understand that's a starting point. That is, thing become a commodity, thing become a sellable. So one day, Socrates and going with the slave via the Athens. The city Athens, and people are shouting and selling everything available, whatever the lay people wanted. And people are shouting, and people are carried away. They went to the shop with another idea due to the advertisement and shouting, they go and buy, and ultimately pass the town. I went to the bathing place and I told to the slave, you see, people are selling and buying and carried away. I am not carried away because I need no anything. So they are shouting and the advertisement in vain. If I need something only, I am listening to he is selling, which one is better, which one is more efficient, because I have my wound in my mind. As far as I need something, I have everything but nothing. There everything has become nothing. Language lost the value. The communication completely drops. When the breath becomes nothing, you get everything. That's called sasana sampatya. Everything is there when the breath is not there. But the breath you got at the expense of your sensuous pleasure. The breath, gross breath, you gotten rid of because of the subtle breath. Subtle breath, you gotten rid of with the subtlest. Subtlest means nothing and everything. So that is the religion, that is the Buddha what is telling. Everything is nothing. That's called prestigious. So present the whole economy, whole what we have learned for the last 200 years, completely sexual, completely sensual. I am a very, very good example because I have learned a lot. I am above average. And I became a monk. I am shouting. We are on the wrong track. But not too late. I introduced mindfulness as a mindful school. Whole Sri Lanka, at least at the policy level, they are ready to accept. Then I say it is not the big damage they have done by these bloody foreigners came and killed us because of our craving. We accepted them. We thought we are very civilized. We thought they know the rules and regulation and all the kind of thing. But you go to the Vinay rule book, monastic rule, everything is there. If you go to the parliament and see the rules and read where the ordination hall, what we do, exactly the same. But we got it everything from the UK. What a fool. I told the secretary, second, he is a good friend of mine, and the assistant speaker, When are you get angry when the members of parliament members are fighting each other? No, Bhante, I have done my meditation. Today parliament is a joker, joke house. He's not. But still he's accepting and protecting the American law, sorry, UK need rule. It came from Vinaya book. But it is not related to the sensuous pleasure. Of course, it is the starting point. And then the material world, Rupa Loka. And then Arupa Loka. Still you are in the same mill. Then you have to be indifference. No liking, no disliking, no selling, no buying. As far, and then, Professor Padmasiri is telling, there is no buying and selling. There is no confidence in that. You lose the motivation. Motivation is coming because of the exchange theory. You are motivated to become moral. You are motivated to become the concentrated or calm and quietness. You are motivated to become insightful because your drive. Drive come from the kayavikaya. Drive come from the supply and demand theory. When Jnanananda is telling, we are guinea pigs. In the experiment.
Yeah, here's the mic. I'm listening to so much rubbish.
And then, no, I am not finished. You can't even tolerate the smoke. You are so angry.
You
I never felt
you
even.
You've entered into a vacuum of where
you're... No, that is, you are always telling, I am leading to vacuum. I'm very happy I am leading to vacuum because you lose everything and you get nothing. And that is not vacuum. That is difficult to communicate. I am very happy about the feedback, but I will give you. So therefore, the Buddha is starting with this sensuous pleasure. Kamaloka. Kama tanha.
He does not do anything that incurs criticism.
No criticism. You read the Upavada. Not the Upavada. That is not the criticism.
No,
you have to read Upavada. Don't translate it as a criticism. It's finding fault with others. Not the criticism. Constructive criticism very well accepted. So this is a wrong translation.
So why are you shouting it down?
No, I am not shouting. That's why I gave others the opportunity to see the big picture. We can't find fault with others. We are in the same, either in the sensuous pleasure or material world or subtle material world. Still we are in the same boat. So if we know it, we become monks. We have some messages to others. So therefore we can't say lay people is bad or the samatha people is bad or vipassana people is higher. No. Because still we are in the same bhava. Kamatanna, bhavatanna, vibhavatanna. So to see this, we have to do tupsi story. We have to our rational thinking, our rationalization completely different. So that you lose yourself. Rationality and motivation, everything come out of ego. When the ego is losing, the main reason is matter is becoming subtle. So that we can't tolerate. So that is what individually we have to understand. Where are we? What is your orientation? What is your pivotal point? What is your benchmark? And with compared to the whole picture Buddha given. But the economist also gives the supply and demand theory. That's easy to understand. But we are beyond that. As you mentioned, we are depending as a beggars, getting it. As you mentioned, still people, even the monks are going to the prestige, going to the materiality. I mean, that is the motivation. Present-day education system, completely they accept, they have mismotivated children. Because the teachers do not know. They are not living in a country where the Buddha is accepted. They are talking about the nonsense. Isaac Newton, Einstein, bloody nonsense. They don't know even the Buddha arose in the world. They become world because they wanted to cut off communism. They wanted to cut off other teaching. They suppress it. Only the capitalism. And we are very obedient followers, Sri Lanka. Very obedient. I am also, I am very... very successful product of the free education. But I learned conspiracy theory. I don't accept it, but that gave something. Where are you? You people are guinea pigs. But still you can be aware because mindfulness. I shut my mouth. I will present the Pali so that
The next sentence is he should not do anything.
I will just tell the Pali gatha. Kaya vikaye na thitteya upavadam bhikkhuna karaya kohinchi gameche nabhi sajjaya labha kamya janang na lapeya mahana kama kraya vikraya nositunaya selling and buying pitanne kime mahana bhikshu අභ්‍යන්තර බාහිර කිසිදු තැනක උපවාදන කරන්නේ නන් රියක්ෂන් කාටවත් දොස් කියන්නේ අපන්නක තියේදී උපවාදන කරන්නේ ගම්හිදු නොලැගෙන්නේය not always going to the villages not always going to the lady they go for pindapatha and that's it come back and you have to go pindapatha it's a good character it's a good trait but not stagnating over there nolaginneya labhashaven janayata lapane nokaranne not stimulating people to please give me don't promote the dana promote the dana to the their own benefit but present day it become a mantra pinkam dana so every monks are always preaching and you go to the monastery how much they are wasting how much food they can't tackle How much soap? How much robes? There's no way to get rid of. Muslim people come and do trades. They collect everything. And they sell them everything in the next shop. The material, Sangha material is sold by these people. Go to the monastery and collect everything and again repack and give it. Our people are so happy to buy them and give it to that. It's called Gamampodi. Just go into the temple and come back to the shop, again go into the temple, again to the coming back shop. People don't know what the monks are need. They are giving Attapirikara. You know Attapirikara? The big ceremonial thing you offer? No one open even. So I went to that, the Kisparo temple, Dhammasarana. The whole wall filled with Attapirikara. They are bringing it from Sri Lanka. There's no place to keep. They are not wearing it. They are not using this knife. They are not using this thread and the needle. But Attapirikara is given, he says, you can directly become a world-turning monarch in the next life. Because you are giving Attapirikara. This is what we call advertisement. So don't do it. Do it if you need and praise it. People can give something needy. What the people monks are needy? Hot drinks. Female. And these are the most rare thing for the monks.
Power tools.
And the power tools, whatever may be, they like power. Power means unskillful in Pali. Pina means skillful, I mean prestigious. Power means other one. Therefore, we are born into that world. Venerable Dhammika wrote 10,000 words, the broken Buddha. They published it. I told him, why you are doing this nasty thing? The Bhikkhu Bodhi also told me. But I never thought of publishing it, but someone published, so therefore I gave the authority. So therefore, nothing to hide. We are in the jam. We are in the boiling pot. So we can't find fault with others. But anyway, we have a hope. We have a lightening silver light in this dark cloud. That I call mindfulness. Yes.
So I'm reminded of something I asked you, we were discussing about 2 weeks ago, and I was asking, you know, we were discussing this big launch of Mindful Nation. And finally, that we can have this mindful nation where we don't have this obstruction within Sri Lankan society to even teach meditation as a basic skill for the people. So this is a new level for the whole society to move up to, where mindfulness can be just as common as water in the country, where it can be the benefit of just being born in this location, that we can meet the teachings of mindfulness and learn this mental skill, and that we can have mindfulness in daily life. We can have mindfulness in all activities of life. So this is like a superpower. These days, people in the West are very excited about AI. So they want artificial intelligence being added to everything. Driving plus AI, business plus AI. But the real super intelligence is mindfulness plus daily activities, mindfulness plus life. And so this obstruction that has been existing in Sri Lankan society against mindfulness as a basic human right, as a basic education, just along with ABC, we have mindfulness, ABC, M, where we know how to read and write. We have the three R's.
And we
have mindfulness. So it's a wonderful thing. But we were discussing that, and it was a big occasion to launch this mindful nation. And I said to you beforehand, what's your mindset about this? How do you feel about this this event? And you said, I feel like I've won already. I have succeeded already.
Success story.
I feel successful already. So even before doing it, and if this event is a failure, at least I had the opportunity to do it. At least we got to this position. So rather than seeing it in terms of loss, I might lose everything. You saw it as an opportunity. I might gain everything. So what I'm trying to come back to is this mindset. Rather than getting bogged down in the particulars of buying and selling and criticism, all of these things start to really matter when somebody is in a scarcity mindset, where they feel like they've lost. They feel like they've lost. And I find it noticeable that the people who are most afraid of losing are the ones most ambitious to gain. That's what's really propelling them along, is that they might lose something. So they're unable to acknowledge that they have enough, and therefore they're perpetually trying to get more. Whereas as people like who can be very simple in life, I lived a long time in Myanmar where it was amazing. Like, people had nothing from a Western perspective or a Western standard. They had nothing. And yet they would find some way to be generous. And then I'm amazed where people, like I visit people in the West, and they have so much and they cannot give you a thing. And, they're bitter about it. They're unhappy about it. And it's astonishing. It's like staggering how foolish, how blind, how mean, how ungenerous this is, and it can be embarrassing in Myanmar, where they have nothing, and you're like, you have nothing, please don't give, and they're like, no, we can do this, so for me it's this mind state, it really encapsulated it for me last 2 weeks ago when you said to me, I feel like I've won already. I feel like I've succeeded already. So that's a kind of coming from this generosity, this abundance, that I'm not a loser. I'm not pathetic. I'm not, whereas I do feel like sometimes some monks can get confused about that. They see their life as pathetic, as you use this word, beggars. We're not beggars. We're mendicants. It's a great blessing for us to come and receive dana, as you mentioned, as forest monks. I mean, where in the world are there forest monks? We're incredibly rare beings, and we show up and we receive the dana and we leave, and people look at us and say, how pathetic, how useless, like this person was so good in university or in life and successful in business, and now they're like a wretched beggar. This is a scarcity thinking rather than seeing it as something of immense generosity, immense wealth, you know. So I
really find this negativity in Sri Lanka and towards Sri Lanka, that this place is bankrupt and all of this kind of thing, is just very negative. Like, no, it's an incredibly wealthy, prosperous place. And I go to so-called wealthy, prosperous places, and it's just zombie land. Dead people walking around with nothing to give, and it's just like, I don't want to even go near the place. So I just give that as a thought to you. Can we talk about the mindset of being in an abundant place rather than the negativity of you shouldn't sell, you shouldn't be intimate, you shouldn't, you know, all this negative sort of, how to say it?
As far as I myself as a person, Venerable Dhammika opened this up, but he was not rich enough. He introduced me to Venerable Jnanaponika, and he wrote Power of Mindfulness. The Godwin was the first person I would say got the idea. He's a pope, he's nothing, but he started Nilambe, and it was a heaven for me. I am prestigious. I am gaining the degree, postgraduate, and the foreign job, and every facilities. But I felt I have to go there and see. And then I had my indebtedness to the English-speaking Buddhists. So it happened me to learn English. Not that I am slavery. You are also in the same. I have someone to talk. We are not agree. That is a different issue. But you are coming from different perspective. I am coming from the village. I am a village bumpkin. But I am more than you. Because I have my prestige. That's why I directly take to the Prime Minister, to the President. You can't do. I am a forest monk. I have never come to the places like this. But I have done without you. Now I need the moral powers. Give me. I am making Sri Lanka as the universal village. So Gangarama monk, he told Bhante, that is what we started everywhere. Take everything you can do. Sarvodaya has done so much of. They will also share with me. And youth council, they have 50 odd number of places in Sri Lanka. He told Bhante, please work with us. I also have a few places. And I am going to declare, we have done already. Only the thing is mindset. People are with, telling that we are the poorest nation, highest amount of suicidal, and all the kind of naughty things. Because that there is a bad campaign. But the media is always suppressing us. But they can't suppress me. Because I am already won. I am in the success story. But I am not going forward. I am asking everyone, take this idea and share. But we have no rush. Slowly, slowly we are going. And in that sense, Sri Lanka has a message to the universe, mindfulness for earth. So I am not worrying much about the Nisarnavan, I am not much worried about the Satipasara, I am worried about the mindful village, universal village, spiritual tourism, whole Sri Lanka I am ready to declare with my powers that I have, it's a universal village, anyone can come. And don't worry about the campaign for the tourism industry and all the... And they don't know. They are talking about the sensuous pleasure. This is the spiritual tourism, the spiritual pilgrims. And now it become a very common idea. That's also a borrowed idea. But I am already win. Win-win. Because I know that when I am talking with the foreigners, they criticize me. That's a very good constructive. I'm very happy I learn English. So last time I went to Connecticut University, I told I am a bumpkin, but I came 30 people, top class people. You can understand my English. My mother can't, my father can't. A lot of my family members can't, but I can. The next great thing is I can understand your bloody pronunciation. American pronunciation. They were so happy. Then I told, with that we are both parallel. I am happy to join with you. I am not an academic, but I am happy to join with you as the curriculum writer. Bhante, it's a prestige for you. You have spent 40 years in meditation, even you don't have academic qualifications. Then I told, I am very happy. When I come back to Sri Lanka, I told, definitely, I learned so much of English. Because not that I am prestigious in English and I have high, but the communication. But I can understand, even when I go to Australia, I can't understand our immigrants' pronunciation. Children, our Sri Lankan children go to Australia, they are talking nonsense. I can't understand. I have to have a translator. Their pronunciation is completely different. And our people living in the UK, they are more British than Sri Lankan. More British than British. They are talking nonsense about my grammar. I asked British people, "No, no, Bhante, you are very well communicated. No harm." Then I told you, "Shut up. You see, the British people are happy with me." These are the tools I am using. So therefore, I am not using exchange theory. But of course, I am doing kind of exchange in a material world and subtle material world. And then, at last, everything means nothing. Then we lost. Language lost, grammar lost, but still our foolishness remains, isn't it? Yudhamara, don't get worried. Tonight also we are going to fight. No harm. No harm. Huh? Yeah. Look, but later, Vidamata told, don't give the physical massage. And yesterday we got the chair. And, I told the first day you came and by the time you wanted to sleep, but you came and gave the massage or the reflection or all the kind of thing. But he told till that this is happening, don't touch this area because it is slowly healing. And we started yesterday. We got the chair prepared. Anyone, welcome to the chair, the dental chair, and I'll give a ride. Yes, my mic. He asked first, American. No, that is not a disqualification. Anyway, I am not Upavad. I am not criticizing.
Sri Bhante and Mahasangha. In this sutta, it was very attractive to me, not just because of the things that we have discussed. And for me, I feel that there is a deeper connection to Dhamma. Even in Dhamma, we have, although it is not direct buying and selling, we have exchange theory to a certain extent even in Dhamma. Just to give one example.
Dhamma Rakhida. His name is Dhamma Rakhida.
And just one example, we give up sensual world,
in those giving up and not to have intimacy with what you gave, and as a result, at the end, it says you should not have gain attitude developed in the process. So it looks very gross and very, very, very initial level of talk or initial level of advice, but it has a very deeper meaning as far as I see it.
American.
Hosarai Bhante. So I wanted to go on what...
yes, you can hear. Batteries. Mic එකට බැටරියක් දාලා දෙන්න. Okay, carry on.
She asked me where I was from, and I said,
us from the United States of America. And she's like, oh, yeah, you know, I was learning Japanese and I was planning to go to Japan, you know, obviously, you know, maybe a better job there and whatnot. So she was like, but I want to know why these foreigners are coming to Sri Lanka. And, you know, and so I was explaining to her, you know, it's a lot easier to be a monk in Sri Lanka than America. You know, where the culture is, I mean, you know, don't get me wrong, there are temples and and monasteries and there are monks in the U.S. where I'm from, but the most of the people there are not Buddhists. So Buddhism is a minority in the U.S. So if you were to like go for say Pindapada in the middle of Washington D.C., I'm from that area, the capital. A lot of people would just look at you like, you know, who are you? Like, not know, like, if they looked at you, they would not know who you were, you know, being a monk. So, whereas here you go for Pindapada, and I went for Pindapada twice when I was out, you know, during the 7 days that I was gone, and I got too much food from the lay people, like too much. I couldn't eat it all. I had to give some of it away. Like me and the Ukrainian summoner.
Supply and demand.
We had to give like a lot of our food from Pindapada away to the kitchen at the temple at Vajrarama. We had to give like a chunk of it, a whole big chunk of it away to the kitchen at the temple. So we just got too much food. So it's a lot easier to be a monk here in Sri Lanka. And I was explaining that to her that you know, it's easier to be a monk here in Sri Lanka than in America. And she... I remember during the conversation, she was like crying, you know, like she had like faith, you know, and, you know, I think she was like starting to realize like, you know, like this is a great place to be for Dhamma, you know, for practicing the Dhamma. And just in general, you know, Sri Lanka is like America. You know, there are people in the world, you know, they buy things, they sell things, they're engaging with sensuality. You know, here in Sri Lanka, just like America, it's the same deal. I mean, you know, if you go to America or you go to like Germany or France or a Western country, UK, Australia, you might be able to get more money there. You might be able to make more money, but you're not going to be able to get away from your problems there. Like that's all essentially. You're just going to be able to make more money than you might here in Sri Lanka, you know, but you're not going to necessarily find an end to your problems by going and making more money and, you know, living in a nicer country, quote unquote, in a, you know, having more things materially. So, you know, here in Sri Lanka as a monk, you know, I get too much. Like we got too much food. I got too much food for Pindapada both times I went when I was out. Too much to eat, you know, couldn't eat all of it. And, you know, just so like too much stuff. I got 3 packs of dark chocolate from Bhante Chandaratana when I came back, like these 3 packs of dark chocolate. I get too much stuff. So I, you know, it's too much to even, you know, hang on to essentially. So, you know, we as monks, you know, we don't even need, you know, this stuff, like the money that people like, you know, when I was out in Colombo and during Pindapada, with the Ukrainian Samanera, some people offered us money, you know, we refused all of it. I mean, and, you know, we don't need it even, you know, we got so much food, we couldn't finish all, we couldn't keep all of it for ourselves, it was just too much. So, you know, I already get too much as a monk here in Sri Lanka, you know, so, like, no need to get more stuff, like all of these, whatever that was, Bhante, that you were mentioning earlier, where they had the things on the wall, they couldn't use it, they weren't like wearing it. It's like I already get too much stuff as a monk here in Sri Lanka. It's like, you know, as monks, we don't need more. The lay people, they just have so much faith and they give so much. So no need to like, you know, accumulate more things, more property, more wealth. You know, it's better to stick to simplicity. You know,
happy that we have a bloody American here with contentment. That's the dragon sucking everything and never happy. But 2 Americans we have. We, of course, we have 3, one went off. And we have the lineage from the beginning. And they are expressing very openly. And that is not Sri Lankan way. We were always happy to prestige and the wealth and the fame and the gain. But lucky enough, you have had it. And lucky enough, you have the meditation, you have the monasteries in Sri Lanka. You come here, I go to America. And I earn something and bring and share with my mindful nation, mindful school. And I am more than earlier, I am very business-minded. Oh, prestigious. I says, no harm, you can give. I never refuse. Because I have accounts, I have this thing, because so much of young children, they are happy. They don't know from where it comes, as if you don't know how the four requisites coming. And you are luckily enough, you are meditating, and you are living up to that. You make it justifiable. And just like young children, I never allow young children to understand the national problem. Young children to understand the psychiatric situation. I just share with them as much as already available, already mindful master trainers, and I just go there. And if I need something, I need the transport and kind of thing, I ask them, please economize it, use it in a frugal way. I am earning from that, and I give it. And slowly I am giving it to the education department bill. I am slowly going into the health department bill, and I am going to nationalize it. But till that, we need it. So therefore, whenever someone is offering, I just have a kapakaru with me. You know kapakaru? Kapya. So I say, I am not handling. Please ask him. And he bring it to the... He went to the America, sorry, Malaysia. He has no pocket. He put everything into the Nisarvaniya the account. He says, Bhante, so much I put it. And I say, thank you very much. I use it. So the Buddha has given all the lines, all the way how to tackle it in a diplomatic way. And just like a village lad like me, or you people like having the already born lucky people, we all are in the same with the mindfulness. And this discussion is the platform where we exchange. This is an exchange. Kaivikaya. This is selling and buying. This is like a village fair. Okay, now time is up for the Pindapatha. We are ending the, winding up the discussion in the good time. That means 1 hour is good enough. Thank you very much for the participation.
Sadhu, 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 Mahatera. Thank you for your great teachings today.
Welcome.